Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 30 of the Double Hit Podcast.
Oh my gosh, wow. And we're joined today by Audrey.
Yes.
She's one day shy of her first birthday. So, yay for you. So, I wrote myself long, long, long notes because I always walk away from here and think, I usually have
well-written notes. I don't have them today.
Okay. So, we'll roll reversal.
We'll trade off.
So, here I can tell you about my knitting because I made all these notes. I had made myself a pair of fingerless mitts. Yeah. At Madrona, like 2 years ago, I took a class with Judith McKenzie McCune and Nancy Bush, and they were about as basic as you can make them.
It was a luxury fiber class,
yeah.
Right?
No, actually, no, it was a hand covering class.
Oh, okay.
But we did get to spin bison in that class.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. So I made these mitts for myself, and I had a little ball of yarn left, and my older son really liked them. So I finally made him his own pair. It's just garter stitch, like basically like a squat rectangle where you at some point cast off stitches for the thumb and then cast on over the opening. So they're just like, and then you three needle bind off. So it took me like a day to make them for him. And I left them for him with a note that said, don't lose them. And I think he's lost them already, but he thinks he lost them in the house, which isn't that encouraging, I don't know. And I finished my Elmas shawl finally. And it blocked out really nicely. I still haven't woven the ends in, so I haven't, like, worn it or anything yet. And then I immediately took the leftovers of the green color of yarn, and I made Vela, the fingerless mittens from Whimsical Little Knits 2 by Isolde. And, oof, yes. So with those, the first time I made the first one, and I, like, you knit the cuff, you knit a rectangle of lace, and then you pick up, and then you knit the hand in the round. And the first time I just kind of like, I knit the lace, I picked up, I knit the hand, and I did it all in one day.
And it looked all barfy, right?
It was awful. It was gross. And I hated it. So, I knit the second cuff, and then I blocked it, and then I picked up and I knit, and it was much better. I know. It was much, much better. So, then I ripped out the other one and did another, and blocked that cuff, and then knit that hand again, and... Yes, and it was much better. So I'm very happy with those. I still need to find buttons for them. But while I was waiting for Vela to block, I kind of went to my Ravelry queue, and you'd asked about this in the forum about, like, you know, how do you pick a nice project? And basically I've been just going to my queue and going, like, little project. So I found Sheldon from Nitty from, like, a billion years ago.
Which is a little turtle.
It's a little turtle
toy. Did Katie knit that?
I think
for
so.
For her sister, who
yeah.
likes turtles.
She's got a sister.
Yeah, super cute.
And he has a shell that's removable, and then there are Sheldon, like, fan groups now, so people have been designing all these other shells. Like, there's, like, there's, like, a Jack Sparrow Sheldon outfit, and, like, not kidding.
That totally reminds me. My sister had this turtle, stuffed animal turtle, when she was a kid, and you could take the shell off, and it was wearing, like, a little Velcro diaper.
Oh. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And his name was Sammy, and she took it to school for show and tell, and someone stole Sammy but left the shell. Like, left the turtle, but,
Or sorry left the to bring up these tragic memories, Bert.
So, yeah, so maybe I need to knit that for her, so she can have Sammy the second.
Sammy. Yeah. That's cool. So, but anyway, but I got to the point where you're supposed to start stuffing the body, and I, And the original was done with safety eyes, and I really like the look of that. And I always do a terrible job embroidering eyes, so...
Yeah, she's super squirmy.
Yeah, we got a very wide-awake baby here. So I ordered some off of Etsy, so I'm waiting for those. So Sheldon's sitting there on the needles, just waiting to be finished. So last night, drumroll please... I took out frost flowers and leaves... And I knit like 2.5 rounds, and it only took me like 3 hours.
Ta-da!
So frost flower and leaves, well, you probably all know this at this point, but it's a very, very large square lace shawl from a Gathering of Lace designed by Eugene Bugler.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
I will never knit it.
I don't know, but I haven't worked on it in like 2 or 3 years, and it...
Yeah, because I'd never seen it before you brought it out Saturday at your house.
Yeah. And it doesn't feel as overwhelming. I mean, the rounds are really long, And it is, oh, that's the other thing about it, is that it's patterned. It's patterned every round. There's no, because, here, Amanda, I'm going to make a giggle again. There's faggoting in the frost flower pattern, which is, you know, sort of this old lace technique, but where you're basically doing a knit two together yarn over, and then you stagger it on the following round. So it's very, very open. And unfortunately, a lot of the lace patterns I like are ones that are patterned on every round because they are a lot more open. Yeah. And so there's just sort of never that, like, you know, if you've ever knit like an Evelyn Clark shawl or something, there's usually like, you know, you do the pattern and then you get to knit back or purl back. And that's like your resting row.
Yeah.
There's none of that in this. And there's like 900 stitches on the needle. So anyway, but it felt good. I need to put a lifeline in, and I'm also... I just hit the point where you change charts and then everything staggers, and I'm not quite sure I've got everything where it's supposed to be because it's been so long since I did that. So I've got to look. I wanted to go look on some groups on Ravelry and see what people were saying about that, just to make sure I've got it right before I forge ahead. Yeah. But I'm definitely going to put in a lifeline. Even like I got myself a piece of yarn last night to do it. I haven't put it in yet, but that'll be nice because I'm right at the end of a chart, so it's it's a perfect spot to put that in there. So, I think that's all my knitting right now.
Okay. Let me, I have Ravelry up so I can remember. I don't have the ginormous list that I had before because, I was finishing up some...
When you've been doing a lot of... There's Mommy on the computer monitor. Yeah. You've been doing a lot of little projects.
Fine knitting. So I finished Audrey's birthday dress.
Yay!
Which I love.
It is so cute.
It's my favorite thing, I think, that I've ever knit.
Dale of Norway.
Yeah, it's a little Dale of Norway dress. It's
very sweet.
20801 Voss dress cap and cardigan. Yeah. Because the skirt was just so time consuming.
No, those are my notes, honey.
But I like to eat paper.
I know. She says. I know. Don't eat my paper.
So I finished that, and I used steam blocking for the first time, and it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And I finished Noah's socks yesterday morning.
Oh, good.
So, and I knit, and so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got a lot of the foot done on Monday night.
Yeah.
So, yesterday all I had to do was knit the toe, and I finished it in the morning.
Cool.
So, and I knit an ear flap hat. Her Noah's dad and put in this color work Faroe Isle portion.
Now the original pattern was from Interweave and it was just done plain.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So it's just a plain solid and you color can, hat.
So the cool thing, this was reissued in the accessories, the special edition accessories one this year. I'm not sure when it was issued before, but it's just called Ear Flap Hats by the Interweave Knit staff. You knit it top down. So you can use basically any weight yarn you want. You just cast on six stitches at the top.
And keep going.
And just keep going until it's the circumference that you want.
Okay.
And then you knit straight, and then you can do any type of color work or whatever. I knit mine in Owl because I had a skein of the cornflower blue color.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a skein of the green for the contrast.
Yeah.
So, and it looks ginormous, but it fits Noah's big head. So I know it'll fit his dad.
And then you took the pattern from
Traditional Fair Isle Knitting by Sheila McGregor.
McGregor, that's it. It was like, something.
Yes. Yeah, which I
which
love
is
that
one of those
book.
Dover Press books that's just little thin volume that's full of black and white.
Color work charts, basically.
Charts. It's a great resource.
I think it's
resource.
Like $15 or $16.
Yeah, it might even be less than that. Yeah. It's a really good resource. And there's one for Scandinavian Designs also that's a great resource.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Tons of little patterns.
Yeah. Had I finished my Ishbel last time?
I don't think it was done yet.
I think it was sitting on the sofa. But it's done.
It's
and
done.
It's beautiful.
It is very beautiful. It is
kind of
good.
Irish. I really did not want to box it up and mail it.
No.
I was like, I want it for myself.
You can make one for yourself. We still have some Norway spruce at the shop.
Well, I got a skein of port from the new shipment of Tosh Sock. So
that is a nice one.
And then I started some little
knits. You have an Ishbel for yourself already.
Yeah, I have a red one out of Malabrigo. So that I started these mitts for Audrey because baby mittens are basically mittens like, without the thumb.
Yeah.
They're just little
like
tubes.
Like a tube sucks.
They're called the Two Color Baby Mittens by Abigail Wellborn. And what I like about this pattern is, I mean, it's just a basic little mitt pattern.
Oh, a little
but if you look
stripe.
At it, yeah, they have. She has like six different charts you could do. I did the plain ones.
Oh, okay.
But they have this like spiral, waves. There's one with hearts. And there's one with something else. There's six different charts to choose from.
Well, that's and it's a free Ravelry pattern.
Oh,
that's great.
And you use just scraps of worsted, and of course I ran out, but Katie has some. So thanks, Katie. Second finish, I ran out at the very tip of the second mitt.
Oh, okay.
And I'm using size 5 instead of size 4s.
Okay.
Just because it says 3 to 12 months. I was afraid they would be a little... You know, Audrey's got kind of long fingers, so
yeah.
I was afraid that they would be...
long fingers that going right in your mouth.
Earrings? I'm not wearing any today.
Gesundheit.
So that's what I've been working on. And so I finished all my holiday knitting. And I started a thread on our Ravelry board about how you choose your next knit. Like,
yep.
Yeah. Because I think it's kind of interesting how people do it. Whether they like... hit their stash and just pick something that they want to use, or if they use their cue or their favorites, or like don't use any of that and they just go to whatever's the popular, super popular pattern.
I'm sure you're more orderly about it than I am. What usually happens to me, well, my cue now is like 9 pages long, which is
mine's 6 pages
crazy.
Long,
I did
but
a
it's
little,
organized.
I did
so.
A little culling, and I've got tags on everything, so I can at least like look, and if I'm sort of thinking I'm in the mood for this, or I want to use this kind of yarn. So usually what'll happen is I'll think, oh, I want to knit, you know, this pattern, or I want to use this yarn, and then I'll start kind of, you know, seeing like, oh, is this enough for this? And then I'll go and I'll get the yarn, and then I'll see a different yarn, and then I'll be like, oh, I meant to knit this thing with this yarn, and then I'll go and I'll look for patterns for that yarn, and then I'll find something. And then, like, 2 hours later, I'll end up casting on for a completely different project that has absolutely nothing to do with any of the first, like, 7 that I looked at.
I would like it if people would post on there. We've had some posts so far. I was reading them this morning about how people choose their projects, because I think it's really interesting. Because I know that some people have huge queues and never use them.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was reading, someone posted in like the main, one of the main 6 boards about like, why do we bother to have
a queue if you don't use it?
Or why do we have favorites? Or I can't remember, someone just sort of, it was in Stash and Room where someone was saying like, how do you use your
favorites. Yeah.
And a lot of people just use the cue instead of the favorites. And like, for me, I know everyone does this differently. For me, the cue are things where I honestly think I would like to knit that.
Yeah.
Not that I necessarily will in this lifetime, but something that I do actually would be happy to knit. Whereas I use my favorites for like, oh, that's cool, I like that.
Or like someone's version of it.
Or someone's version of it. A particular project or a particular version that has like really good notes. Or when it's just something like, actually, one of those came up, the Queen Anne shawl, there's a tradition, an heirloom lace knitting group on Ravelry that has, based on like photos from a Shetland museum, created this immense and pretty complex Shetland lace shawl, and they've got the pattern available for free. And I put that in my favorites, because I don't think I'm ever going to knit it. It's like 8,000 yards or something.
I know.
Frostflowers is like 3, and that's enough for me.
That'd be my head explode. Oh, my God.
I know. Or maybe Frostflowers is only 2,000, but so, yeah, so that's sort of, for me, that's how I break it down. Like, there's someone who I'm friends with on Ravelry, who I had to unfriend, because they were, I think I talked about this a long time ago, because they favorite so much stuff. It was like filling up my friend activity, like favorite, and they just like favorite everything. And I looked, and like I just looked at her the other day, and she's got over 13,000 favorites. So, and originally though, the favorites, there was no way to organize
to
them. At least
them.
Now you can like put tags on them, and then you can say
filter
I want to see
out,
green projects, or
I just want to see hand spun.
I'm
whatever.
Kind of yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I wish I could be. I was more consistent in my tagging. Sometimes I can't. Like, some days I'm just feeling frisky, and I'm, like, full of tags. Like, oh, okay, this is green, and it has leaves, and it's,
frisky
like...
Frisky tagging. Brought to you by Jessica Rose. What I did, because I just reorganized my stash, which was awesome. So I, because I think I was just digging in there for stuff, and it was kind of messy. So I reorganized, and I organized mine by weight, and I realized how much sock yarn I had.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
that sucks.
So I decided to knit some socks, and the socks I decided to knit are the Acorn Stash Sock by Ann Hansen.
Okay.
And I bought the kit a long time ago from Fearless Fibers. She's a Etsy shop person. I don't have a picture up yet.
So is that like a club thing that they
No, just she just packages the yarn with the pattern. So the color is great. That's them.
Oh, I see.
They have a little acorn lace pattern.
Yeah,
cute. And the reason I chose these is because they had been sitting with the yarn wound.
Oh.
I had wound it a long time ago with the pattern in a Ziploc bag on top of all my other sock yarn. So I had to, like, move it every time I was going to get something. So I'm like, I'm just going to knit this damn
thing.
Well,
sometimes it's amazing how, like, a barrier like that, like, just having the yarn already wound. Like, my older son, I showed him the Incognito from the new Nitty, which mm-hmm. we're going to talk about, which is a little cowl, like, a really plain stockinette cowl that has a duplicate stitch mustache on it.
Yeah.
And there's, like, three different mustaches, and it's just silly.
I like the giant handlebar one.
Yes. That's awesome. And that's the one he likes, too. So... I showed it to him and he was like, oh, I want that. I'm like, would you really wear it? And he's like, yeah. And then he said he wanted it in like a particular shade of green, like sort of.
Audrey wants one too.
Yeah. Like what I could only think to describe is like rugby shirt green, like just like green, 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 medium green. So I looked and looked and looked and I ended up getting a skein of Verde Adriana worsted Malabrigo. Oh, here. There's mom.
Cranky pants.
And so he approved it. I had him feel it. And he said, ooh, which was a good sign. So, but last night when it was came time to, you know, move on to the next thing when I finished up whatever I was working on last night. I can't remember now.
Your anglerfish?
My anglerfish. I forgot my anglerfish. Was that not on the list? I skipped my anglerfish. I made the anglerfish.
From Amigurumi Knits.
It's from Amigurumi Knits by Hansi Singh.
Yeah.
What was that fiddly? It's neat construction.
It's really cute, though.
But it was really hard. Like, I've sewed the teeth on, and I was trying really hard, but they all kind of point in weird directions. and I sewed the lure on. I got, a chenille stem, which I can never... It's like pipe cleaners, people. Are we so PC we can't say pipe cleaner? Even if we don't clean pipes with them anymore. To, like, hold the lure, I've got the stem in there, and I've got it stitched down, but it still kind of, like, just swivels randomly, but it's a very fiddly little project. So I did that, yes. And I just did that in, like, scraps of stash whatever I had lying around. But then, yeah, so I was thinking, I was watching TV, and I was feeling kind of brain dead, and thinking, oh, that'd be good to do that, you know, incognito, because it's just like knitting a tube. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, I gotta wind the yarn. And so instead I chose to knit frost flowers and leaves, which I think really tells you something about like how much of a barrier it can be sometimes. Like, and the crazy thing is, at my house, the swift and the ball winder are already attached to the kitchen counter.
You don't have to get them out.
Like, I don't have to like find them, dig them out. It's, you know, secure. It's like, I just have to walk over to the counter and wind it. But even that last night, it meant like I had to go downstairs, and then I just didn't want to do it. So I find sometimes that, you know, like... And that was part of why Sheldon was such an easy project to go to. I had leftover from the Psychedelic Squares Afghan I did about a billion years ago.
It was already wound up and ready to
go. I had the two skeins of the greens, like, next to each other in a bin. And I opened the bin. I think I was looking for something else. And I saw those two skeins together. And I was like, oh, Sheldon, okay. And it was just like a no-brainer. Like, I could just grab it and knit it. And sometimes, you know, that can go a long way to making it, like, there's my next project. Go.
Yeah. So, and my feet have been cold.
Yes.
So,
and you don't really have that many socks for yourself.
They're all gifts, which is really lame. Yes. I mean, it's nice that people want hand-knit socks, but I need more for myself.
Yes, you do.
And I have the stash to do it. So,
yes, you do.
So the new Nitty came out.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I wasn't super excited about it.
There are a few things that I like, and there are a few things that I do not like. But, well, like Incognito, I think was just really simple and cute. I really like the Bitterroot Shawl by Rosemary Hill. And the funny thing about it, like, even looking at it, I've been looking at... Oh, that's something else. So I'm planning on doing the 10 shawls in 2010, which there's a Ravelry group for it. The requirements for the group are, like, I mean, like, a bunch of the shawls have to be more than, like, I think it was, like, 270 meters or something crazy.
Yeah.
Like, some tiny yardage. So they can be, like, small shawls, which... Actually, I don't really like knitting really small shawls that much, because I don't find that I wear the ones that are really teeny tiny.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. So it's... And I've been looking at a lot of shawls, like, tons of shawls, favoriting tons of shawls, queuing tons of shawls. And one of the things that I keep, you know, every once in a while I'll look at one and I'll go, oh, well, that one's, you know, it's nice, but it's not, like, super original or something. Mm-hmm. And I don't, Bitterroot, you know, yes, there's a balloon. Bitterroot is not, you know, like, groundbreaking, but there's just something about it I find really appealing, especially the version that was done in the blue and the heavier weight yarn. I just really like it. And I'm curious about the duet one, which is
a cowl
that you run a ribbon through so you can cinch the top up and wear it as a hat. So I've been sort of waiting to see those trickle in on Ravelry.
Yeah. I don't really wear hats, so I do the cowl, just knit it as the cowl. I like the little leafy pattern.
And I know everyone and their uncle's been knitting Citron, which is a little half-circle, really simple shawl that's got ruching in stripes.
So, yeah, when I was reorganizing my sash, I found a skein of sea silk in the pumpkin color, and I'm like, this will be Citron!
Oh, that'll be beautiful.
That'll be pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Frost Diamonds, too, this Daphne Japelle one. It's in a heavier weight yarn.
Yeah, it's in a worsted.
Yeah. So, I was actually thinking that I would use my Sundara, that silky merino.
Oh, that's perfect. The heavyweight stuff got, for that. You know, like a kind of an odd quantity of it, right?
600,
like
600
yards.
And this, yeah. So, and this, well, 630, but I have plenty.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be really beautiful in that dark red color.
Mm, yeah, totally.
So she's really cute in these pictures.
Yeah. I saw someone was saying on Twitter that she's wrecking her pregnancy.
Yeah. And there are lots of socks in this issue. I like Pyroclastic because they have that arch shaping.
Yeah.
And I want to try that.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's a good way to try.
Oh, and I love the mittens, which I don't know how to pronounce. What is it?
Albie?
Yes. A-I-L-B-E. Where it's just got a little twisted stitch pattern on the top, and it's done in Malabrigo sock.
Which
is a nice choice.
Once again, I have lots of sock yarn.
Yes.
So
yeah, and that's perfect. A nice, you know, one skein of sock yarn
though
kind of pattern.
It is knit on zeros.
Well, that you want that, though. It'll give you that really nice, you know, crisp stitch definition. Yeah. Plus, you don't want... Airy mittens, exactly. Yeah. You want a really nice,
keep
firm
your hands
mitten.
Warm.
Yeah.
I like Saviano, too, actually.
I did, too, but actually, I think I was talking to Arielle about it, that I thought it was kind of funny. These are by Yarnissima, and it's also got a twisted stitch pattern, and she does the whole toe-up thing. And she usually does a lot of patterning in the gusset.
Yeah.
And this one, the gusset is plain, which just seems sort of like a missed opportunity. Like, there could be something really pretty in that gusset.
Like that.
Which, so it was, and then there's several versions of them, too, shown, but I think they're pretty, but, well, there's four versions of them?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah, there's also a lot of very strange little things in here that I don't quite get, like the socks with the shields on them that Kat Vorty did here, and the tentacle scarf.
You know, the Synergy Shield, the Kat Vorty pattern, that reminds me of something an art teacher would wear.
Yeah. Well,
they're very arty.
Yeah.
But I think, isn't Kat Vorty kind of like that?
Yeah,
too?
She is kind of like your high school art teacher.
Yeah, I wasn't really impressed with any of the sweaters, though.
Yeah, I like the King of Confidence is cute, where it's just the, you know, it's a pretty simple concept of using, doing a seamless yoke sweater and using a small amount of hand spun in the top, which... actually, one of our coworkers has a sweater. Like, Kathy has a cute sweater that she made doing that. And Zora by Kristen Rengren is
I thought it was cute.
Nice, but I don't feel a burning need to knit it.
Yeah.
The Tokyo sweater, I think, was to me, is kind of a misstep. It's got unusual construction, which creates this rectangle on the front and the back, which distorts horribly if the person wearing it has breasts, which the person wearing it does. And it's also knit in Silk Garden Light, which is discontinued, which I thought was a very odd choice for them to go forward and publish it when the yarn is no longer available.
Yeah.
Because it's very yarn specific. It's very dependent on the striping.
Yeah, that rectangle's not going to show like that in other
yarns. Yeah, and there's just not a lot of other DK weight self-striping yarns out on the market, at least that I'm aware of. So
I thought Soria, the red vest is cute, but I don't think I want that daisy pattern.
Yeah,
I like the texture, the little cables.
Yeah, I like the top of
and
it.
And the overall shape is really
cute. So it's
cute.
Got a cabled top, and then it has a color work
daisies, basically.
Big daisies all around the bottom. And
I like her description of, like, where she got the inspiration from.
Yes.
But to me, the two patterns don't go together. Like, it almost looks like two things that were, like, and the daisies go across the back of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just...
I would knit that vest if it were all this little cable pattern.
Yeah.
Because when I just saw the little picture, I'm like, ooh. Because I really want to be a vest girl. I really want to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it just doesn't quite work for me. It didn't, like, I remember clicking on it, too, and thinking, huh? Yeah. And then there's the spoke pattern, which to me reminds me so much of Sunrise Circle. Yeah. Another construction is a bit different, but it...
I feel like this would pull oddly around your whole midriff in your bust.
Yeah, well, that's my issue with Sunrise Circle, is that I think it looks really cute on women who don't have big, or, you know, don't have any bust. But women who do have busts, it does kind of distort the shape of that front panel. Hello. No, I don't need to put that in my mouth now that you've had that in your mouth. Thank you.
She likes to share.
Yes, you do like to share.
Yeah.
But overall, there are a few things to, you know, a few things got added to the queue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I thought it was a good mix of things.
Yeah, I know a lot of people have been saying they like the Mr. Darcy sweater, which has a nice little, it's a very simple men's like pullover with a texture stitch. I find the neck very odd. I don't know if it's just not designed terribly well, if it was meant to sort of be that wide and stand up-y and flop-over-y, but it just, to me, doesn't look well designed.
I like that he's reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes. Yes, you do. This is going to be our new thing that we managed to mention on every episode. Is
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Just I'm sure I can work it in. It's just fun to say.
So yeah, that's the new nitty.
Yay, nitty.
So I think this is going to be kind of longish episode. But I wanted to talk about our Nanny Sweimoto. Because we both finished. Yeah. And this is probably our last
podcast of the year.
Podcast of the year. And I want to know how you feel about your sweaters. Like... have you been wearing them?
I have. Not
are there
all
any
of them.
That you want to rip out? Because I feel that way about a couple of mine.
You've got yours up, okay. So why don't you talk about yours a little bit?
All right. So the vast majority of them I like. Mm-hmm. I actually have been really wearing my Portland Tweed Farhill jacket quite a lot.
Yes, you have.
It's like, and I was kind of ambivalent about it. It lay on top of my dresser a long time before I actually did the hem sewing and the sewing down the ribbon on the steek and like the last finishing step, but I've been wearing it like once a week since I finished it.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So,
and I know you wear that button me up pullover a lot.
Yeah.
And Lucy in the Sky you wear all the time.
Well, it's like the basic thing.
Yeah.
Wear over a t-shirt.
Exactly.
So I'm really glad I knit that. And a couple of them are very pretty, summer specific. My Rusted Root is in cotton fleece. And I did wear that several times. And my Lush and Lacy, which I really like.
Yeah.
I think my favorite that I knit was a silk cocoon cardigan. Mm. And I do wear that, but it's so freaking warm.
Yeah.
But I get tons of compliments on it. And it actually looks cute hanging open like a cardigan. It's got kind of an asymmetrical front.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Instead of just as a wrap. And I wear Arwen a lot. But I think, you know... I had said that I was going to Frog Wicked, but then I wore it a couple times and I liked it. But then the last time I put it on, because the llama just had gotten super floppy and stretchy.
Yeah.
So that's going to be frogged and probably knit into several different smaller
floppy
projects.
Things.
Like a cowl.
Yeah.
And probably maybe a scarf for somebody.
Yeah.
Because it just does not hold up for sweater wear very well.
Okay.
I think the llama needs to be tempered with something else.
Yeah.
Like a blend.
Yeah.
For it to work. So I think I'm going to... do another Wicked next year and knit it in Classy.
That'll be nice.
I loved my Drops 103-1 jacket when I first knit it, because postpartum, I had not gotten my body back, really. And I thought it was great with the swinginess and stuff, but I put it on the other day, and I'm like, this just makes me look chubby.
Aw.
So,
that's
I think...
sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute in the picture.
Yeah.
And I really like the
sleeves.
We're
wearing it a lot when you finished it.
But I think I'm done with it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's too bad. The funny thing is, what I keep thinking I want to knit for myself is like the schlubbiest, baggiest, hugest weekend sweater ever.
That's what I use my Mariah for.
Oh, okay.
Because it's so oversized.
I just want like a giant,
sack of a sweater when I'm just feeling like, I just want to curl up in something, and I just want big, like, snuggly things.
Yeah, Mariah has grown because of the bamboo content, mm-hmm. and the sleeves were already too long, so now I just wear it around the house with, like, thick wool socks, and it's awesome.
Oh, that's good.
But, yeah, I'm going to recycle my drops jacket, I think.
Have you worn your hoodie vest at all?
I have. It also is really freaking warm.
Yeah,
It looks like, odd go to me open on me, so I have to wear it over, a t-shirt and wear it closed.
Okay.
But overall, I'm happy. And I'm happy that I just finished.
Yeah, so I think you're probably getting more use out of your Nanny Suimoto than I am. I don't remember if do I have a tab for them?
I had a separate list.
I might have fallen down on the tagging and not got them all tagged, so.
There you go.
Okay. I've got some extras in there that I didn't actually do. So, the forestry, which is the first one I did, I still mean to rip out and redo the collar, mm-hmm. and then I think I might actually wear it. The Granny Smith Farrow cardigan I wear all the time. I wear it all the time. Love that. The asymmetrical cardigan, I do wear sometimes, and I like it. I keep meaning to cinch up the buttonholes, because they're a little too
droopy.
Big for the buttons I have on there. I have never worn the camp shirt. I still haven't even blocked it. I think by the time I was done with it, I was just like, yeah, fair, away with you. Diminishing ribs, I've only worn a few times, and I like it, but I shed Angora on everything and everyone, so that's not that great. The Shalom was a shop model, so.
Yeah.
Bountiful Bohus I wear all the time. Yeah. I wore it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
L'Amour, I don't think I've even worn it.
I thought you put it on when you finished it at knitting because it was cold.
I spotted it in a bag. Part of it is my sweater storage system is like, everything's just in giant Ziploc bags, mm-hmm. so, to keep the moths out. So I don't always, like, I kind of just sort of cycle through the ones that are on the, it's kind of like my sock system where I kind of cycle through the ones that are on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really worn that. Georgie, have not worn. It's a little on the small side and I just I haven't thought about it. The Coraline I wear all the time. Yeah. I get a ton of compliments on it every time I wear it at work and I really like
it. It's a great sweater.
My February Lady sweater. I've only worn it like once or twice. I was thinking about putting it on today, but it was also one of those things like the only shirt I had was like this screaming blue shirt and it would have looked weird with most of my sweaters, which is why I put on this sweater today so I could kind of like cover up my weird colored shirt. And then I haven't worn my Featherweight at all. I think that one, if I thought I could rip it out, I might rip it out, but I don't think I can rip that yarn out.
Yeah.
But it came out just a little funky. I'm not super happy with it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's everything. I might have missed a few things in my tagging. Because what were my last... Fair Hair wasn't my last one, was it?
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, it was. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so... but overall, it was a fun challenge, and so I enjoyed doing it. But I already have, like, this, you know... a ton of sweaters.
Yeah, see, I didn't
so
have that.
It's kind of hard for me because it's like I'm constantly. Oh wait, I got to rotate through because then I wear my Rev Olympic sweater all the time. I wear this one. This was my original knitting Olympic sweater. I have my original Farrell cardigan in the gray that I wear all the time. You know, so I've just got kind of a big wardrobe of sweaters already, and so it kind of feels like. You know, I've got some out, and I wash them, and then they're there already, and then it's easier than going into the closet and digging out the ones that I haven't worn. So you kind of tend to kind of tend just to wear the ones that are there and ready. It's like the wound yarn, right? Like the one that's top of the pile is the easiest one to wear. So I get a little self-conscious about like, do the people at work notice that I'm always wearing the same sweater? Our UPS guy one day said to me, I wore my sitcom chic one day this summer, and he said. Is it a special occasion you're not wearing a green sweater? And I thought, okay, if the UPS guy notices that I'm always wearing a green sweater, maybe I need to branch out a little bit, but...
Yeah, so overall, I'm like, 90% happy with my sweater.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. Yeah, it was a fun experience to do. And now, on this 10 shawls in 2010, I said something about it on my blog, and I got a few comments like, wow, that's way too ambitious, but the yarn requirements on it... I mean,
they're really low.
there are going to be some people who are going to be done in, like, February. Because there's some tiny shell. I mean, you can... I mean, there are ones that are under 300 yards that are... That count toward, you know, there's sort of rules to this one. Well, if I knit
Damson in 3 days, then...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you can knit 10 of those in a month and be done.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, a couple... There, you have to do, like, two or three that are over, like, 500 yards. But even that, yeah. It's like... Before this whole, like, small shawl craze, I don't think I ever knit a shawl that was under, like, 700 yards or something.
Yeah.
So this idea of, like, oh, 300-yard shawl. I mean, even, you know, what's being even, called a shawl is...
Even Audrey
is
shaking her head.
Audrey's
now.
Shaking her head. No, no, no. All right, so... but I do want to really talk about movies.
Okay.
Because I watched a ton of stuff lately. I watched Taking Woodstock, which was an Ang Lee film that kind of focuses on, with stars Dimitri Martin, focuses on a young man whose parents have a shabby motel up in, I can't remember what the town's name, even Whitekill or something. Anyway, because Woodstock didn't actually take place in Woodstock, New York, because Woodstock kicked them out. So it's kind of, you know, it's a really cute film, and I just thought it was really nicely done, and it's sort of interesting in how it sort of takes in the effect and the scope of this massive event, but, you know, kind of keeps the scale small by just focusing on this one guy. I also watched on Watch Instantly, I just noticed last night, Criterion and Netflix Watch Instantly have this new thing going on, so there's 30 Criterion films that are now available Watch Instantly. Ah, and some of them are pretty new, like Che, the new Steven Soderbergh film is on there now.
Oh.
But also things like Seven Samurai and Sanjuro.
Yeah, and I think I watched something that was Criterion now. Must be new.
Yeah, so one of the ones I watched, which is something I've been meaning to watch for a really long time, is Harlan County, USA, which documents the coal miners' strike in Harlan County in Kentucky in 1973. And it's a really amazing documentary. It is pretty gut-wrenching to watch and just kind of stunning. And it reminded me so much of Matewan, which is a John Sayles feature about the coal miner strike in the 20s in West Virginia. And it's just kind of amazing also how little things change. Like, there's some point in the film where the coal miners are picketing on Wall Street in New York, and one of them is talking to this New York cop. The guy says, he's talking about, he just sort of points to the street light, and he says, in order for those lights to be lit, one coal miner dies a day. And it was like, just like kind of a stunning thing. And we've had so many horrible coal mining tragedies over the last few years that have been, you know, kind of made international news in China and in Russia. So it's a really amazing piece of work. And also directed by a woman, Barbara Koppel, and edited by women. And it's like it's really interesting, really worth watching. Finally watched the final season, The L Word. And it's kind of a weird season.
Yeah.
It's very ambiguous and not in a mysterious way, just kind of in a whatever way.
Yeah.
So, I watched Lost in Austin, which I thought was very cute. I think
it was very cute.
The first, like, 30 minutes are pretty cringe-worthy, though. You're kind of like, when you've got setting up the conceit of her going into the book. But once she's there and sort of embroiled in the whole thing, it was kind of entertaining.
I liked it when the main character, Amanda, comes back to get Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm macrobiotic now.
Yes. Or she says, Elizabeth Bennet has just handed me her mobile. and then I was having withdrawal from all the Eddie Izzard I'd been watching, so I watched the new Ricky Gervais concert concert film called Out of England, which is very funny, and if you like his style of comedy, it's really worth watching. But the new thing I am obsessed with, and this is on Watch Instant, is Skins, which is this British teen drama, and it is, I've refined my description, it is Gossip Girl meets Porky's meets, oh wait, no, you're distracting me, I'm forgetting all my things, wait, Gossip Girl meets Porky's meets, oh shoot, I had a really good description of it too.
Audrey means you lose it.
She did. You distracted me, and I can't remember. Anyway, but so it's this high school drama, and the interesting thing about it is that it's actually shot with, like, teenagers, which is kind of funny because American stuff is never actually shot with teenagers.
It's with 20-year-olds.
Right, and so there is, like, so it's kind of weird. Like, the tone is kind of, some of the storylines are, like, very dramatic and some are really comedic. And each episode kind of focuses on one of the kids in this group of friends. You know, like, the kids are really, they're really teenagers. And Dev Patel, the star of Slumdog Millionaire, is in it. And it's, oh, that was, like, in American teenage, in quotes, stuff, like, a teenage, quote, boy will take his shirt off and he's, like, this massive buff because he's, like, a 25-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. These guys are, like, 18 years old or something, and, like, the guys are all scrawny, and, like, but there's, like, a surprising amount of nudity considering that they are actually all teenagers. It's just kind of an interesting little window. It's sort of, like, worst-case scenario of the teen years in some ways, and it's also got me thinking a lot about the fact that I'm now...
They're about to have that in your house.
I know, like, a year and a half away from having a teenager in my house, which is, like, crazy to me. But it's a funny show, and I just find it totally addictive, because, like, I'll finish one, and I'm like, oh, I gotta watch the next one. Anyway, so volume 1 and 2 are available watch instant on Netflix, so I've finished volume 1, and I started volume 2. I think there's 12 episodes in each one. Apparently, volume 3, which is only available, which you can get from Netflix on disc, or maybe it's not quite available yet, they've, like, scrapped the whole cast and started it, and they've got they've replaced the whole cast. So I don't know how that works out. I have a sense
maybe
that
they're all
25 like
now.
Yeah. Well, no, but they're not. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Dev Patel is only 20 years old now. I was just looking on Netflix or IMDb this morning to see how old they all were, because they really, when they started shooting this, they're all born in like 88, 89. They're all like
youngins,
really young, which is interesting because it's very frank about a lot of.
Stuff.
About a lot of sex, and also a lot of and the drug use is like there's sort of this theme of with drug use of this interest in taking pills, and it doesn't matter what the pill is, like, oh, I've got pills, and you're like, oh, I'll take pills, and like, just I'm thinking, like, I want to, like, yell at the TV, like,
hasn't everyone had that interest? Maybe,
like,
not.
Well, I just, like, I don't know, like, maybe I'm, like, dating myself, but, like, when I was a kid, we knew what we were taking. Like, you didn't just take a random pill, because this is, like, just sort of random, like, any kind of pharmaceutical, like,
well,
oh,
yeah.
Sure, wonder what would happen if I take, and, like, they don't even know what they're taking, they're just taking whatever anyone has in their pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I'll just say yeah.
Yeah, okay, not in front of the baby.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's kind of a little terrifying as a parent, too. What have you been watching? Yes,
Squirm
with me.
I watched Up.
Oh, yes.
You let me. It's really cute.
Isn't it sweet?
I didn't feel like it was a kid's movie at all.
Yeah. My kids like it a lot, though.
It was a little bit depressing.
It is a little depressing.
Because it was like the old guy who lost his wife, the little kid whose dad basically doesn't pay any attention to him, the dog who's ostracized by his pack. I'm like,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
it was kind of sad,
but
they
all
liked
find
it.
Each other, and then they're happy together.
Yeah, but still,
I wept like a baby in the first 5 minutes of that movie.
Yeah.
But I still love it. And I just don't feel like you'll never look at a dog the same way again after meeting Doug.
Squirrel.
Yeah, we have just met, and I love you. So
So I watched that.
Yeah.
I've been watching lots of crap. This morning I was watching Stripes. Well, Audrey was down for her nap, which I hadn't seen in a really long time.
That has one of the most famous blooper scenes, like continuity problems, which is when Bill Murray's girlfriend is leaving him in the beginning. She puts on three boots.
I thought it was on TV
a while ago, and I was somewhere where it was on TV, and I couldn't stop watching it.
Oh, that was at Sock Summit.
Oh, right. We were in the bar. That's right. And it was like...
Yeah. So it was at the library. So I was yoink. I love the part where they're at the recruiting office signing up, and he's asking them if they're homosexuals. And they just, like, look at each other up and down. And I'm like, we're willing to learn. It's really funny.
It's a great movie. I mean, it's a ridiculous, silly movie, but it's fun.
So I watched that. What am I watching?
I don't know.
Not much.
No.
Some other. Oh, I watched Wanted last night, which is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah, seen it. Rewatching it.
My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah. It's in 3D. It comes with glasses. It's awesome.
From the library?
It was like $5 at Target. So. I was like, 3D at home. Awesome. So Wanted was weird, and the only reason I got it was because it has James McAvoy in it.
Yeah, Wes went to see it in the theater, and I just remember seeing the trailers for it and thinking, this looks like, I just
found it weird that they have Angelina Jolie on all the covers and everything when the story's not about her. It's about...
Well, because she's the bigger star.
Yeah.
It sells better overseas if you have pictures of Angelina Jolie on the cover, so...
Yeah, but there were parts of that I liked, and overall I didn't really like it. The music was terrible, but I really liked James McAvoy, so... Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the other things I think Skins is crossed with. Porky's meets Gossip Girl meets Trainspotting.
Oh,
okay. That was it. That's where the drugs come in.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah.
Well, so I read a rewatching book stuff last time that I forgot to talk about, which is kind of amazing because it's the only book I've read in, like, weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because my son wanted to get, my older son wanted to get this X-Men comic book from the library that was called.
I talked about it at knitting,
but on the podcast. It's called Magneto Testament. And it had a parental advisory on it. Usually there's like a rating system on comic books. So I said, well, you can't read this. I need to look at it first. And Wes was busy, and so it became my job to read the comic book for him. Usually Wes sort of pre-screens them. So the character of Magneto, his backstory is sort of referred to in a lot of X-Men comic books, apparently. I don't read X-Men comics, that he's a Holocaust survivor. So the authors...
It's in the very beginning of the first X-Men movie,
yes,
too. Very briefly.
That he was
it's like
an
first
Auschwitz.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the authors, and actually it just turns out by chance, one of the authors we know... who's also a filmmaker, but they kind of pieced together all the various history that they knew and then aligned it with actual history of Jews in Germany and at Auschwitz. And so it just tells the story of him, of a boy growing up in a Jewish boy growing up in Germany who eventually his family is captured and sent to Auschwitz and his life at Auschwitz.
She's eating Cheerios off the floor.
Yes, yummy Cheerios. But it's really well done, and it had a bibliography and a teacher's guide in the back, which I thought was a good sign that it was actually, like, responsibly done. And so it actually was really good, and I did let my son read it, and we ended up talking about it a bit. And then just some weird coincidence of that I don't know if you saw in the news, and then the last week, that the sign over the gates of Auschwitz, the Arbeit macht frei, the work will set you free, was stolen. I know, which is, like, incredible. And the Polish police have found it and recovered it. It had been cut into 3 pieces. I think they were just going to, like, try to sell it on the black market or something. So it's been recovered, but it was just kind of, I don't know, it was weird since
people
I was already
so
had that in my
weird.
Car.
Like,
yeah, it's just horrible, but... but it was a very
How would you even think of doing that?
I don't know. I don't know. Horrible. But the book was interesting. I mean, and then it also had an interesting little other comic book in the back about an author, what's her name? Babbitt. I can't remember her first name. Who was a prisoner. She's Czechoslovakian. She was a prisoner at Auschwitz, and the guards discovered that she was an artist, and so Joseph Mengele had her do paintings for her of various ethnic, like, of gypsies, because he had, you know, these theories about these different ethnic groups. And she also did a lot of, like, portraits for the officers.
Mm-hmm.
And after the war, she moved to the U.S., and she actually worked on animation, so she worked on, like, Woody Woodpecker and other... animated cartoons, but she was invited by the Auschwitz Museum to go back and authenticate her work, and she thought she was going to receive all the work that she had done back, but they wouldn't release it. They wanted to keep it for the museum. And so for like 30 plus years,
food on the floor.
Yes. It's better on the floor.
Yeah.
For 30 plus years she had been fighting the Auschwitz Museum to get her work back. And then when I was blogging about this, so then I looked her up, and she actually passed away this summer.
Mm.
And her work had never been returned to her, and her children are still fighting to have her work returned to her. So, anyway, that was all very interesting, and I discovered it because I read this comic book for my kids. So, I thought that was... that was neat. So, anyway, I don't know. Anything? What, have you been reading anything?
No.
No? Oh, wow. Okay.
I picked up the first Sookie Stackhouse novel at the library.
Oh, yeah. I've heard these are, like, they're good, but they're nothing like the TV show.
Yeah. Ariel said that the TV show is totally different.
Yeah.
Amy Sendai Amy. That's what I'm calling, yes. You know.
Sendai Amy.
Sendai Amy. You have your own manga, Sendai Amy. It's awesome. Yeah, not really.
No.
She said that they were terrible.
Oh, really?
The books were terrible. So I'm guessing somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, my friend Heather read them and she liked them. And
yeah. So I'm going to read the first one. I like this show. So
gross.
So gross.
I haven't watched season 2 yet, but yeah. I've got it at home, so.
Yeah. Yikes. I know it's not out yet, but I have my ways of watching it. So I did watch that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, like, season 2 is a raunchier and bloodier.
Yeah.
And grosser than season 1.
Is that funny?
Which is kind of hard to believe. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that's everything for us.
Yeah. I wanted to say a quick couple congratulations. And I think we congratulated Jen Bell from knitting.
We had not yet.
No, not yet.
Congrats to Jen.
She's pregnant.
Yes.
And so is Abby from knitting. And Nicole from Stash and Burn.
That's right. Yes.
Congratulations,
things
everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat you to it, suckers. Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to knit baby things.
Yes, it is.
Huh.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Audrey agrees.
Yes.
So
I think we'll be back in the new year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's show notes at doubleknit.net.
And post on the thread on the Ravelry group.
Yeah.
About how you choose your next knitting project.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see you in 2010.
Yay.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.